Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Lots of fun. I can't remember the last time that I had as much fun watching a football game as I did on Sunday.
The whole day was just a wash.
Wow. I've decided, I think, Kevin, that I'm just not going to pick the Patriots. I'm just not going to select them anymore. Because, you know, I've decided to, you know, go whole hog that direction, and they throw up a stinker like that. So it's pretty clear to me that, number one, I would be a horrible prognosticator if I actually had to do this for a living. And this is why people lose big money when they go to Vegas and they participate in pools and all that other stuff. And anybody that proclaims to have knowledge is doing one of two things. They're either lying or they have money to burn, yep. One or the other. Because
it's the reason it's called gambling.
Exactly. And you looked at all of the... You looked at all of the factors involved, and everything said, you know, uptick, this team is swinging, they know how they're doing, they're clicking all cylinders, and then we come to find out after the game, you know, oh, well, we really didn't have the best of practices this week. Well, what the hell does that mean? You know, first of all, we're not even privy to the practices to the point where we can see that they had a lousy practice based on the fact that we're only allowed in for the first 10 minutes of practice per day anyway.
You actually don't even really see them practice. It's more just like stretching.
No, stretching, just to basically see. So, you know, all I'm going to say is that I've decided now, we're halfway through the season, I realize the team is 6-2. I'm going to look at the big picture here, and I'm going to say, all right, you know what? I didn't think we'd be 6-2.
No.
I thought we'd be probably fortunate right around 4-4.
That's a fair point.
That's what I thought. So,
but at the same time, John, if you're going to make that point, I think even with no games played, the slate wiped completely clean.
Yeah.
If you were to tell us back the first week of September that they'd lose to the Browns, I would still be very disappointed.
Oh, there's no question.
Regardless of the
There's
record.
No question that the way that we got to 6-2 is what everybody's going to nitpick about today, including myself. But, you know, the fact is you still have to try to, you know, somehow do away with the disappointment by saying, okay, you're still 6-2. You've still got one of the, you know, 4, 5, 6 best records in the NFL. And you have every opportunity to prove that 6-2 is not a fluke based on what you can go and do this next Sunday night when you go to Pittsburgh. So I've just decided, as a matter of principle, on Thursdays, I'm not picking the team. I'm not picking this game anymore.
I can't fault you for the next
not gonna
weeks,
pick
at least. I'll be like, we were having the conversation in PFW. I'll be stunned if they win on Sunday. I'll be flat out stunned.
I frankly think a lot of us will be. And, you know, we'll obviously save that for a later time, you know, as the week progresses here. But I can't, no, based on the way they played. Now, granted, Pittsburgh didn't play all that great last night anyway.
No.
I kind of flicked back and forth. I was watching, you know, Pittsburgh's basketball team.
Yeah.
And also watching
the
Steelers a little bit. Squeaked by Rhode Island last night.
Yeah.
Very first college basketball game of the year.
Yeah.
You know, so how can you miss that, right?
You
especially
can't.
For someone in my profession, having done that for 20
doing your
plus
homework.
Years, basically, yeah, because I'll be Big calling
East.
Games. I'll be calling games for both of those teams this year.
As you have your, is that a new Big East jacket
no.
you got on?
No.
There?
No, same old one.
Looks
same
nice.
Old. Thank you. I'll see what I can do.
But
you know, I know that they were not impressive last night. Nevertheless, they still managed to beat Cincinnati. You know that they'll be jacked and pumped for the Patriots. Sunday night football, you know, the only game in town next Sunday night. Obviously, you know, I think looking at the game film from Sunday's game kind of pissed off some of the Patriots, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I hope so.
We've heard all the reports that, you know, they were, you know, embarrassed and they're mad and this and that. That's great. They're going to need that, which hopefully will set up, you know, a pretty good counter next Sunday night. All things being equal, I don't think anybody right now certainly expects this team to win that game.
No. See, I don't expect them to win the next 2 weeks. I won't be stunned if they beat Indy at home just because Indy's offense is so beat up.
I would.
And it's a home game. Like, right. I can understand. I don't think I'll pick them to win that game, but I can understand them winning that game. But this game on Sunday, I don't think they stand
a much better chance of beating Indy at home than they do of winning at Pittsburgh.
I don't think they have a shot Sunday.
So, you know, hey, if you could get through this next couple of weeks and get through 10 weeks and you're looking at 7-3, I still think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, if they can split the next two games, I agree with you. I don't. Right now, maybe it's because I'm just hurting inside.
But here's where the disappointment lies in. You beat Pittsburgh somehow this Sunday, and you're going to tell me that nobody would be disappointed with 7-3?
Yeah.
Of course they would be.
Yeah.
Because, well, if you beat Pittsburgh, you should beat Indianapolis. Well, I don't necessarily argue that point.
No.
But it's all in perception here.
Yeah. And especially this year, I mean, anything goes.
And because of that, okay, you hit on, you know, really the focus of the day here.
Yeah.
The focus of the day is that if you have not learned through halfway through the season now that this is a different year.
Yeah, you better get
literally
on board.
That literally anything goes. That last place can beat first place. The number 32 team in your power ranking can beat the number one and vice versa. If you haven't learned that by now, you're not going to learn.
Even if
you're not going to get a clue. Just, you know, sit there and smile at the television and ask for the pablum.
And even the most casual observer of the Patriots, who may not know a whole lot about the NFL in general, after watching the Patriots this Sunday, should understand what you just said.
Anything goes.
Yep.
Which is why, I mean, the perception would be, okay, I'd still be pissed off if we went 7-3 but beat the Steelers. No, you can't look at it that way this year. This is one year. In past years where you had, you know, three or four teams, maybe tops, really rise above it all and be the cream of the crop, I think you can still, and we talked about this a little last week, but I think you can still take a look at this, the NFL now, and pick anywhere from 8 to 10 to maybe even a dozen teams and say, I can see that team winning.
Yep. Agreed.
I can see that team winning.
My problem, John, why it hurts so bad was because when I look at the three games that are coming up, and I know everyone's like, oh, it's the Lions, but it's Thanksgiving Day, it's a short week, and the Lions pretty much, for all intents and purposes, beat the Jets, but their coach lost the game.
Oh, that was a horrific, horrific end.
So when
of the
I
game.
Look at the yeah, three games that they have coming up
yeah.
at Pittsburgh, Indianapolis at home,
and
then a short
Detroit.
Week at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day,
right.
I thought they could lose all three of these games.
They could.
And with that win in Cleveland to at least get them to 7-1, thinking, okay, even if they lose two out of the next three games, they'll still be okay. Now with that loss, they need to do a little better than that.
Well, I think, you know, they got to look at these next three games, although they don't. Again, they go one week at a time.
But it's a tough three games.
But
stretch.
If you look at these three games here, this team needs to find a way to win two of the three.
And this was supposed to be their breather last weekend.
Right.
And that's what
this was
them.
Their one road game that you thought, okay, they've got a great shot at winning a game.
This was the one we all penciled
in. And they not only failed, they failed miserably. Which is why, you know, again, let's try to look at the end here. Let's look at the big picture. Let's try to look at the biggest picture, 6-2. In 2 weeks, we'll look at the bigger picture. Where are they?
Yep.
Now, if they're 6-4, all right, you might have a gripe, and maybe it'll be time to, you know, for mild panic in the streets.
I think by the time your head hits the pillow after you're full of turkey on Thanksgiving, I think you're going to have a pretty good idea of what this team's about. That's going to be, remember we used to talk about like the first couple weeks of the season, how long does it take? Does it take to week 8, week 10, week 11 till you kind of have a good idea of what you have here?
No, I think I think we know now by the halfway point in the season.
See,
I'm
still not sure. Well, I have no idea.
I think the halfway point in the season is a pretty good barometer. Now again, injuries always, Kevin, play a factor. Injuries always factor in the equation, and there are always late season injuries that can change things, you know, swing them wildly one way or the other. And especially if a team loses a starting quarterback, then all bets are off. But I think we pretty much get the idea that, you know, of what the Patriots' makeup is. Look at it statistically, okay? They're a middle-of-the-pack team on offense. That's all they are.
Yep.
We talk about this team being a dynamo on offense. Mule muffins, as, you know, Colonel Potter used to say on MASH.
Randy Moss isn't walking through those doors.
No. It's not. They are 14th, I believe, in total offense. They may still be second in scoring, but they're
that's an aberration.
It's a little bit of an aberration.
Teams,
some of that special teams, yeah, turnovers and things like that. Which certainly I know all goes into it. It's all a part of the equation. I get all of that. It all counts just the same, but you have to realize that this team is doing it with a little extra help that you don't normally get. So They're 14th in total offense. They're still 28th in total defense out of 32 teams, which tells me that they're still bending a lot. They even broke a little bit this last week. I mean, you're going to give up 34 points to Cleveland? Now, again, with all due respect, you know, to Andy and his infinite wisdom in being able to identify talent on a football field, I think Colt McCoy is a little better than what he's allowing to. But yet again, the Patriots have always had success in the past, generally speaking, against rookie quarterbacks. And Colt didn't have any problem slicing and dicing the Patriots' defense last week. He did exactly what Brian Daboll and Eric Mangini wanted him to do, and he did it with alarming efficiency. That and, oh, yeah, he had a guy by the name of Peyton Hillis who absolutely ran roughshod through the Patriots' defense. So Colt had a lot of help. I will allow that, you know, he's not a finished product, but, you know, a quarterback is only as good as all things he has going for him are together. Was he undervalued? I think a little bit. Could he have been a second-round pick? Yeah, but the difference between second and third rounds, you know what? Minuscule. He lasted to Cleveland for a reason. Cleveland had a need. He was the highest-ranked player on the board. Bingo, that's where he goes. I think he's got a better-than-strong, better-than-average arm. I mean, look at a couple of the cross-the-body throws he had to make on the run, which were on target, by the way. Okay? Guy threw for 70% completions as a collegian on a team and in a program that's not known for throwing the football. Come on, strippers, you even know that. So I'm not so sure what Andy's looking at, but again, we'll just have to agree to disagree there. Do I think he's Peyton Manning? Of course not. Do I think he has the potential to be Peyton Manning? Nope. Not unless you surround him with Marvin Harrisons and, you know, Edgerrin Jameses and, you know, and, you know, guys like that. If you're telling me that Cleveland's going to, you know, build up to that point, well, then he might have a chance to have some success. But, yes, Peyton Manning's elite. Tom Brady's elite, although I'm sure that'll be part of our nitpick today because I thought Tom had a miserable game. He wasn't helped by much. But, again, that backs up my point of you need help. Peyton Manning still has some offensive help. He's had the offensive help. He doesn't have Dallas Clark. If he had Dallas Clark, I don't think that team is 5-3 right now. That team is probably at least 6-2, maybe even 7-1.
With that said, Tammy's doing a pretty good job filling in for him. Their backup tight end?
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He actually is. So, you know, it's an imperfect deal. I just, you know, think that you have to give some credit to, unfortunately, Eric Mangini, Brian Daboll, who know this team, who know this franchise, who know Coach Belichick. And, you know, I had somebody write on my Facebook page this week. Actually, you know who it was? It was Brian Morey, of all people, when I wrote that, you know, Mangini outcoached Belichick. And he said, that stuff is so overrated. He says, every time the Patriots lose, anytime any team loses, the coach is outcoached. Absolutely.
Yep.
That's a true fact that Brian makes. Anytime your team loses, your coach is outcoached. Now, there is a rare occasion where a team can lose a game. The coach may put in a play call, an execution of that play can cause a loss, and then you can't pin it on the coach. I will certainly agree with that. You can't pin turnovers on a coach. You really can't pin execution. You can pin play calling on a coach.
Yeah.
You can pin game plan on a coach.
Strategy.
You can pin strategy on a coach.
Simple things.
Exactly. And that I think you can pin on our coaching staff this last week. They were not prepared for what Cleveland had. They are usually one step ahead of opposing coaches. They're usually always one step ahead, especially of coaches and teams who they know have intimate knowledge of them. They were not that way this last week.
Nope.
And I would go so far as to say that they woefully underestimated Cleveland's ability, talent-wise, to compete on the same field. Maybe the Patriots just had the comeuppance. Maybe that's all that happened here. Is they just got slapped in the face, and maybe this will just be one of those, you know, cold slaps of reality need.
I really hope it's a wake-up call.
That's what I'm thinking.
I hope it's not the start of some four-game losing streak.
We're going to find out on Sunday. But if this Patriots team comes out and plays Pittsburgh tough and battles with them tooth and nail, has a shot to win it, maybe even wins it, then I think we can all agree here the Patriots were woefully underprepared and outcoached this past Sunday against Cleveland.
And if that's the case and they lose this next game, being unprepared against Cleveland may cost you coming down the stretch.
It could. It absolutely. I heard somebody talking about that on the radio post game. I heard somebody talking about
down the stretch.
This could be that game on Sunday could be a tiebreaker.
Could be. Could have, and it's a conference game.
Conference game
kills you.
Could be a tiebreaker. It hurts. It doesn't help. Now you got to win out in your division the rest of the way. You've already lost one. You can't afford to lose anymore, or it's over.
Yep.
And you really can't afford to lose in the conference anymore.
Jets game, oh my God, that made me almost as angry as the Patriots losing.
All I know is that
I want to throw my shoe through the television.
That's part of my nitpicks, and we'll go through my nitpicks of the day. But my nitpick number one is that for one of the few times that I can recall in recent years, the Patriots coaches, and got to throw the players in there too, seemed unprepared. Or yeah. not as well prepared as I thought they should be. And that disappointed me greatly as a fan.
As it should.
It really did.
Especially against an inferior opponent.
And maybe that's part of it. Like I said, maybe they thought that the opponent was inferior, and they just got a whack right in the face. You know? And it's like, okay. We had that coming to us. We deserve that. We didn't take them seriously. We'll find out this Sunday. Or if this is a more serious problem, and because if this team comes out and just, you know, God, I just hit myself. Damn, that hurt.
That was a good little shot right there.
Thank you. I just hurt me. What did I do that for? Dope.
I know you're angry. I'm angry. We're all angry.
I'm just saying.
You get nobody in there.
I know. If this team comes out and lays an egg on Sunday, then, okay, there are more serious problems. There are more serious problems that lie ahead. If I were a betting man, and I'm no longer going to bet on this team, but if I were, I would say that this is probably I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is just a bit of an aberration. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt based on the previous couple of weeks before this last weekend's game against Cleveland. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Improved play that I've seen on both ends of the football, especially on the defensive side, the improvements that we've seen, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what comes out against Pittsburgh. And by the way, Ed Bouchette, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he's going to join us at 3:30 this afternoon to get the ball rolling on the Steelers. But in the meantime,
we'll try to turn the page.
Yeah, we'll try to turn the page a bit. But in the meantime, it is Nitpick Tuesday. So webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook page is up. Taking requests. You can respond to the wall post, or you can do what Mary Beth did. She just chatted with me, and she says, obviously, if you had fun watching them on Sunday, you were not watching the Patriots. Let's see. What else comes from? This one comes from Paul. Paul writes a good one here. He says, three words to describe Sunday's game. Oh, great. Sucky, sucky, sucky. You need to go find that now, I guess, don't you, Kevin? Sucky, sucky, sucky. There we go. We sucked on all three sides of the ball and for all four quarters. The positive is that we don't lose successive games, a theory that we'll get a stiff test this weekend. He says, my nitpick is a biggie as it concerns one Thomas Edward Brady Jr. The guy hasn't looked the same player to me since his injury. I didn't expect a return to 07 numbers. That season was a one-off, but I don't think he looks the same player he was in 01 to 06 when we won Super Bowls and a no-name receiving unit came within minutes of another AFC championship. Don't get me wrong, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and with his new deal recently inked, he's going nowhere in a hurry, but with two first-rounders next year, along with a lot of other high picks, is it time to draft the heir apparent and let him learn from Tom for a couple of years before making the switch to the future from a position of strength?
As much as I would love to think that the majority of the offensive issues is a Brady problem, I think a lot of it, when I watch the game and I rewatch it again and again and again, there are some cases, Gronkowski comes to mind, where, you know, it's a bad throw. But I think a lot of the struggles the offense has and a lot of the struggles that Brady's been having is that the receivers just aren't getting open. And that's what's that it really frustrates me, because you have, I think we can agree, a Hall of Fame quarterback still playing,
sure,
at relatively close to a Hall of Fame level,
sure,
and to have receivers that are, you know, when you look at Welker, I don't consider him a game changer, especially without Moss. I just don't. That's my opinion of him. And you look at Branch, not healthy, hobbling around out there. Who the heck is he supposed to throw the football to? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Edelman dropping balls, well, Tate dropping balls.
Here's another thought. I think we're all now beginning to see, you know, number one, the effects of several things. Number one, not having Randy Moss in the lineup certainly makes it easier for other receivers to catch the ball. Number two, that Wes Welker is not all the way back. He probably won't be all the way back for this year. It may be a while before he gets all the way back.
He may never
get all the
at
way
the
back.
At his age, he may never be what he was.
But, you know, there's just not enough separation from him to be open. Whether that's, you know, part Randy, part Wes, a combination thereof, you know, I think is subject to debate.
But to speak to the emailer's point, I don't care what the reason is, whether it's the receivers just not being good enough, whether it's Randy being gone. You're not seeing people run free in the middle of the field and run free down the field where Tom can put it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you feel personally, John, but there have been a lot of games this year where I've been less than impressed with the offensive line, and Brady's had to roll out and had people in his face. I don't think you can just pin it on, oh, Brady's having a bad year. I don't think that's fair, given, at, you know, after the Moss trade, you take away his favorite weapon, you take away a guy that makes everybody better. You take away a Pro Bowl offensive lineman that we just get back who is definitely not up to speed yet. I don't care if he started or not. There are a lot of other factors contributing to Brady's struggles than just himself.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I think that's well put. And I think we've probably all seen that a little bit, that there are a lot of other factors going into it here. He's off target on some things. He's trying to force in on others. Part of that is because I'm sure he's trying to compensate for the aforementioned things that I just talked about. This team does not have what we would call a standard running game. It's a running game by committee. Some days Benny's fine. Most days, like this last one, he's not.
No, in
some days Woody's fine. Most days he's not going to be. It's going to take a combination thereof. And even so, they don't have a guy. Boy, could the Patriots use Peyton Hillis right now?
Oh my God!
Could they use him?
That'd be fun.
Oh my goodness!
The thing that kills me is, when they need to run the ball, whether it be to kill the clock at the end of the game, whether it be
they can't do it,
whether it be they're on the goal line, first and goal on the one,
they can't.
When
do
they
it.
Need to run the ball, they can't do it. But when they sprinkle the running game in out of a shotgun formation or in obvious passing situations, they can run a little bit. But when they need to run the ball, they can't do it. And I'm sorry, but that's not the trait of a good team. Good teams can run the ball. When it's winning time, good teams can run the ball, and this team can't.
I have no disagreement. We're on the same page here. It's not making for good talk show fodder here. We should disagree. No. But, you know, unfortunately,
we're just venting.
I think we're both seeing the same thing. All right, let's sneak a break in here because we've got a lot of people that are also wanting to vent here. A lot of emails starting to come in. So webradio@patriots.com. You can pick up the phone and call us at 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. And also call up my Facebook page. It's John Rook, Rooke. If you're not a friend already, just submit the request. We'll answer that. And you can post on the Facebook page, or you can just join us on Facebook chat and chat your question in, as so many choose to do as well. And we get your questions that way, if you like, plus other little tidbits of news that come my way during the course of the week. You're all caught up to date. I'm also on Twitter, by the way, if you want, at jrooke0722. J-R-O-O-K-E is how you spell the last name, and you can also sign up on Twitter if you like, and every once in a while, you know, a blind squirrel finds a nut, and I send it to you. So that's basically how it goes. But in the meantime, anyway, pause here for a timeout. We're going to get to your emails. We're going to kind of dissect and analyze what happened on Sunday. I do have some superlatives, believe it or not. You know, every Tuesday, on Nitpick Tuesday, I do try to balance it out. In the interest of fair and balanced reporting here, for those of you that think I should still be that, I'm going to balance it out. For every nitpick I have, I give you a nice little bonus. Okay? I've already given you my number one nitpick. Play calling and the coaching was horrendous. Just horrendous. They looked ill-prepared. I will give you a positive that I saw coming out of the game on Sunday.
Good tease.
Okay? That's coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many AAdvantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn AAdvantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn AAdvantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/AAdvantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Back inside the Playbook, I'm John Rook for a Nitpick Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. All right, I promised, and I'm going to deliver here. Not one, but actually two little tidbits that I found from the game on Sunday that I thought were, you know, pretty good, that you might not know. Here's one you might know, that Aaron Hernandez registered his first two NFL touchdowns, right? Okay, scored his first NFL touchdown on that two-yard touchdown in the second quarter, then he had a one-yarder in the fourth quarter. So obviously both of the Patriots scores, both belong to Aaron Hernandez. Now, what you might not know about that is that Hernandez led the team with five catches for 48 yards total against Cleveland. He has 34 receptions on the season right now, 436 receiving yards. The Patriots franchise record for rookie tight ends, 37 receptions and 636 receiving yards. The 37 receptions were by Greg Beatty back in 1986. There's a name from the past, Patriot fans. The receiving yard reception by a rookie tight end, Russ Francis. Russ All-World Francis, back in 1975. obviously he's very close to already having the Patriots record for receptions by a rookie tight end. Three away from tying that, and he's got, what, eight games left to go. So, say what you want to about the Rob Gronkowski drops, which there were, or the fumbles, which there was, or the blown fair catch, if you will, which there was, which led to a fumble, which led to the first Cleveland tie. Okay, don't get me started. God. Ah! Stop! I'm starting to revisit it now, and I'm starting to see red. I don't want to see this anymore. I'm getting angry at myself. Okay, calm down. Shh. Breathe. Breathe. Nice. All right. Rob Gronkowski hopefully is going to be fine. But, yeah, those were egregious errors and mistakes. He shouldn't have called the fair catch. He just shouldn't have called. That was his biggest mistake. He shouldn't have called for the fair catch. Sammy Morris saw the fair catch, and he backed off. That's why Sammy didn't handle the kick. That's all there is to it. It's very simple. You call the fair catch, you got to get the ball. It's your responsibility. It's like I tell, you know, my baseball players. If you call the ball, if you're at shortstop or at second or at pitch or whatever, and you say, I got it, you're waving everybody off, then by God, you better go get it. Because if you stand there and let it drop and you start pointing fingers, the error is on you.
We're running laps.
Yeah. If you make the call, it's your responsibility. That really wasn't a nitpick, but I could make it one. Because that just set the tone for the whole stinking day. And it all went downhill from there. It really did. All right. Okay, it's a nitpick. Now I got to make up for it. Here we go. Got to make up for it. Wes Welker extended his streak to 71 straight regular season games with at least one reception. He's got at least one pass in each of his 57 games with the Patriots, including three postseason games. Last time Welker didn't catch a pass in a game was back on December the 24th of 05 when he was with the Dolphins. So he's caught at least one in every game that he's been a member of the Patriots. So say what you want to about Wes's and his knee, and his ability not to get open, or Randy not being there, you know, opening up lanes for him. He's still managing to catch a few balls. Consistency is definitely there. Okay. See? I'm balancing things out.
Fair and balanced reporting.
Yeah. Who says we can't do that? I can do that. I give you the bad. I give you the good. You know what? Before I give my next nitpick, I'm going to give you a good thing first.
Oh, changing it up now.
Yeah, I'm going to change it up. I'm going to give you a good thing first, and then I'll blow my stack. All right, Dagmar. Our friend Dagmar in Miami. Yes.
He Facebooked me, too, the other
yes,
day.
Yes, he Facebooked me, and he sent this message today. He says, John, I see that the Patriots are victims of their own beliefs. We always hear, able to run the ball and stopping the run. Sound familiar? Last time the Patriots had an elite running back of the team, went on to winning a Super Bowl. In the last Super Bowl they went to, they forgot to take one, and what happened? They lost. Playoffs are for running and smash-mouth football teams. The Patriots just proved to themselves they don't fit in that mold. Too much is made of the running back by committee, and this is a passing league, but when we look at the Super Bowl-winning teams in the latest era, they're all sharing one thing. They have an established running game. Anyways, keep up the good work. I can't argue that. Nor will I do it because I happen to agree with it. You may not use it, but you'd better have the thread of it. Nobody's going to take the Patriots running game seriously. That also could have something to do with the fact that, you know what, that's why teams are kind of zoning the Patriots up defensively and why you don't find the passing lanes open. Not only do you not have a feared running game, you don't have the threat now in Randy Moss to stretch the defense out. So if you're a defense, how are you going to guard the Patriots? Let's flip this around for a second. Play Eric Mangini for a second, all right? I know for some of you that might be disgusting, but just play him for a second, all right? Better yet, play Romeo Crennel. Everybody respects Romeo, right? I do. I'm sure most Patriots fans do, if not all. If you were going to game plan against the Patriots, what the hell would you do? You're going to let them run the ball is what you're going to do. You're going to fill the passing lanes up. You're going to, you know, probably rush three. You might put a big nickel situation in there. You're going to do more than just two deep cover. You're going to, You're not going to double team anybody over the top. That's for sure, because you don't have Moss anymore. You're going to basically play a standard defense. You're going to, fill the secondary, and you're going to dare the Patriots to beat you over the top because they don't think you can run it effectively. You're going to clog the lanes. In other words, you're going to create a drain plug. That the only way to solve it is with a can of Drano or a bottle of Drano. That's what you're going to do. You're going to clog the middle. That's all you're going to do. You're going to do whatever you can to cause confusion over the middle, make Brady to hang on to the football an extra minute or two, and then when he has to check off, it's for 3 yards to Wes Welker. Or it's for 5 yards to Aaron Hernandez. Or it's to Rob Gronkowski who he dropped it again. Damn, I wasn't going to do that, and I just did it again. I really am not trying to take it out on Rob. I think he's going to be a very good tight end. I just think he's got a case of the dropsies right now. But that's what you're seeing on offense. Am I lying to anybody here? Did I see something different than what you saw out on the field? You're going to try to gap the lane. You're going to fill the gaps, okay? You're going to say, "All right, Ben Jarvis, Green, Elvis, Ellis, you're a nice little player. You're going to have to beat us." See, I think that's a mistake. That's a mistake that was made here a couple of weeks ago by the Vikings. The Vikings actually respect him a little bit too much. If I'm off base, I really want to hear from you today. I really do. If you think I'm off base, I want to hear from you. If you think I'm right, I want to hear from you as well. But, I really want to hear from somebody who has a different approach, a different take on this. And let's share the ideas and see what we can come up with. Because, quite frankly, I think it's spot on. I think if you're an opposing team, you're going to do whatever you can to take the one person you know that can beat you out of the equation. That's Tom Brady. And if you've got, if you got your best receiver basically on a leg and a half right now, which is what Branch is basically going with, right? With an alleged hamstring problem, hammy problem, then, how else are you going to? Okay, so, you let Hernandez catch one or two. Big deal. Patriots got in the end zone twice against Cleveland. I'm not so much worried about the defense now as I am about the offense, kids. Really worried about the offense.
I'm more worried about the offense than I am the defense.
Joey sends his email. He says, "Your lack of faith is disturbing." Joey, it is what it is. There's my Coach Belichick, quote for the day.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Coach. I have grave concerns over the offense, and maybe they felt like they had to get rid of Randy for whatever reason. Maybe they felt like he was too big a distraction. But I think now, after the fact, we've learned what Randy Moss's true worth to this team is and was.
And I don't think being critical of the team for the way they played on Sunday is being a negative Nancy by any stretch.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, we're not sitting here saying season's over.
The team's still 6-2, okay? Yeah. Well, I stressed at the beginning of the program today, big picture here, kids. Big picture, 6-2.
But if you can't take what happened Sunday as a red flag, then you're not objective at all.
That's correct. That's all Sunday is a red flag. Now let's find out if they can correct it. And if they do correct it and play a good game or maybe even win the game, see, I would allow they could play a good game and lose this next Sunday, which could easily happen.
Yeah, I would allow that, and then, if they were to beat Indy.
But, if they come back and they beat Indy, okay, which
they're
you should
in.
On home, on home turf, then they're right back where they need to be. They're in good shape. They're a playoff-bound team. They still have a shot at the division. They have their season still in front of them. Everything is on the table to play for.
But how could you not be greedy and go into this Sunday thinking,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm smelling like roses. I'm coming out 7-1. I have the best record in the NFL.
Well, you know what, though? Sometimes that's just not possible. Sometimes, and again, part of this could be, and I've been giving this a lot of thought over the last 48 hours, Kev. This team has lost so much veteran leadership over the last few years. There are so many new guys on this team. Most of the guys in this locker room now don't know how to act the quote-unquote Patriot way. There isn't a demonstrative leader in the clubhouse, save for Brady and maybe Vince Wilfork, that took this team by the you-know-whats like Teddy Bruschi did, like Mike Vrabel did, okay? And said, this is what you got to do to win. This is the Patriot way. Follow the Patriot way. We'll take care of you. You'll win. We don't really have anybody like that in this locker room. So you got young guys who are learning trial by fire. They're going through the learning steps just like this franchise went through back 7, 8, 9 years ago. Same thing. That's why, to me, there are some similarities, as we've talked about, between what we're seeing this year on the field and what we saw in 2001. Different record, different route that's being traveled, but I can see some similarities.
I just don't see.
I get that same 2001 feeling when I look at this team. It's just that this team has more wins to show for it.
I know, and then once you get those wins, if you have the best record in the NFL right around midseason, and you're not thinking, not only, oh my God, I have a chance to make the playoffs, which most people didn't think they would, John, at the start of the season.
Right.
But
not
only do I have a chance to make the playoffs, win the division, but when you have the best record in the NFL at pretty much the halfway point, you should be looking at, I want to buy.
And if you're that's not, what I think.
And if you're not, then what are you playing
for? And let's face it, you know, with a rare exception, you know, three out of every 4 years, the Super Bowl teams are going to come from a bye team in both
Absolutely.
Conferences. Okay,
it's the road it's paved the way.
If you finish as one or a two seed in the AFC or the NFC, your chances are greatly improved. Doesn't mean you're going to get there. We've seen that, but your chances are of getting there and having success are greatly improved with three games as opposed to four.
But we're not at the point anymore where we started 2-1, 3-4. We're in the middle of the season now.
Yes.
And if you're at this point, the point that this team's at, and you're not looking toward, my God, like they have a chance to really do something here, especially in a year where there's all this parity.
Well, this is where you need guys in that locker room to step up and
this
say,
is the critical
this is not
point.
Satisfactory. Okay? This is, you know, everybody has to go through self-evaluation here. Everybody's got to pick it up.
That's why I think this three-game stretch, if not this one-game stretch, after the debacle that we saw on Sunday, this is when we learn who they are.
All right. I agree. All right, John sends an email here, says, this may not be in line with the show, but here are my reasons you're not going to get, or here are my reasons you are going to get 4,000 emails about 2,000 different things that we did wrong in the game. None of it will matter going forward toward the Pittsburgh game that I'm already having nightmares about. Instead, I wanted to give you a couple of articles that I read recently by the illustrious Fox sports writers. One was Jason Whitlock when he referred to Brady and Belichick as reaching pimp status in their handling of Randy Moss. Pimps? Really? Has Fox Sports become this? And to answer that question, Kriegel over the weekend wrote an article calling Jen Sturger, a whore. Now, did he really? Well, you decide. The splash page was the following. Who are you kidding with a picture of her? Once again, I ask.
Good Lord,
really?
I wouldn't call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
They are rapidly losing credibility with me. Dude, let me explain something to you, John. Fox does that. That's Fox's. They're into the...
like the sultry stuff.
Yeah, they're into that stuff. Okay, so
like
unless you want a little, yeah, if you want, unless you want a little sensationalism, unless you want a little National Enquirer flair to your fair and honest reporting, I'd kind of stay away from Fox.
I would too.
He says, pretty soon I'll be asking for the PFW guys to actually write something. Perish the
Ooh,
thought.
That's a good zing right there.
Wow, John. Okay.
Stepping up, message her.
Yeah, moving.
Fred Kirsch reads all these.
I know he does. Well, okay, fair enough. All right, Gustavo in Brazil. John, how are you? I expect that you have a lot of nitpicks to talk about this week. That game was hard to watch. What really bothered me last Sunday was the offense. There you go, Gustavo. You and me both. It felt like they couldn't do anything. Even Brady and Woodhead had a miscommunication. They did. You notice that? A couple of occasions.
One of them even led to Brady like running into the line and sliding because he missed the handoff.
Yeah, I missed the handoff.
Which upset me. I don't know. It wasn't like he was under so much pressure where he had to fling it. I was like, at least
did
try
that
to make
not
something.
Come after Colt McCoy's 16-yard touchdown
it
run?
I think it came
after. Okay, yeah. Okay. And all I'm going to say is just
me.
Look at the two. Look at the two runs.
Yeah.
And I know Colt's younger. Tom's had major knee surgery.
I'm not saying I wanted Tom.
But let's not let Colt's ability to make a play like that take away from his being a good quarterback.
Oh, my argument wasn't that I thought Brady should take off and make more with it. It was just that there was no pressure on him. He had a good pocket. Why not try to scramble or like just take a peek down the field or something first before you just kind of wave the white flag and go into the fetal position behind the offensive line?
I don't know.
I just.
By the way, I was an advocate of taking McCoy in the draft.
I like Colt McCoy.
I would love to have seen him come in and work behind Tom for a couple of years. But now that we have Brady for a few more years, though, you know, we had an earlier email suggestion, you know, why don't we think about the future? You know what? I could see them doing that with one of those third or fourth rounders.
Yeah.
If they feel like quality or value is there in the third or fourth round, then I wouldn't mind taking a shot at that.
This is a year that if you're going to take a shot at something like that, this is the year you want to take a shot just because you have the quantity is so large.
Yeah.
I think you still have seven in the first four rounds.
I don't know. I'll have to get into this with my boy Mel Kiper a little bit later. But
why not? You know what I
mean? We should try to get him on
the
show.
You can only draft so many damn flipping players.
Before the year's out, we need to call Mel.
I need some hair tips from him, too. My moss up
sure,
here.
Sure, he'd be glad to help you.
It's thinning. I got to see what he uses
he'd
on
be
that
glad
thing.
To help
and
you.
It never moves, either.
All right. He says, my question is points. Gustavo does. Do you think the return of Logan Mankins was a negative factor on our running game? Nope. Do you think that this loss will have any impact on the next two games, negatively or positively? It could. I'm not trying to skirt the issue.
You're leaning against it.
I'm leaning against.
You think that this was a wake-up call, a slap in the face?
Yeah.
An aberration, if you will.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm hoping that it'll have a positive effect.
That's why I don't get how people can write in and think you're being negative. I mean,
no.
if anything, that's a positive spin on what you saw on Sunday.
I'm hoping. We're going to find out Sunday, but I'm hoping that I'm right and that this game past Sunday was an aberration.
Yeah.
And then Gustavo says, number three, let's not blame this loss on Gronkowski's fumbles, although the first one wasn't entirely his fault. It was. He didn't put the ball away. He didn't get down on the ground soon enough. He tried to stretch for the end zone, which we've seen him do in the past, and that's his fault. He's got to know he's got to get down in that instance.
I know.
Because teams are going after him now, the ball, because they know that he tries to stretch for extra yardage. You got to get down.
And as that play was happening, you know, Andy Hart echoed my sentiments. I'm yelling at the TV, go down, go down. You're going to fumble, go down, go down. And you're waiting for him. I admire the fight in him. But, John, I don't understand – how a rational person with rational thoughts can say that fumble didn't matter. Andy was trying to make the point that the Peyton Hillis fumble when they were driving in the Patriots territory and Gronk's fumble canceled out or whatever.
Yes.
But the game's 17-7. If Gronk goes down right there at the 2-yard line, they call timeout. They still have another one left. They have 30 seconds left. More than likely, they're going to get in the end zone. At the very least, you're going to get three. If not, 7.
Right.
If the game's 17-10, or more likely 17-14, heading into the half, with the Patriots getting the ball coming out of the half, to me it's a completely different game.
I agree.
And
with
I don't understand how you can argue against that. You know, I don't understand how you can dismiss that fumble as not kind of almost the turning point, the last straw. Because once that fumble happened, I was like, they're not winning this game.
By the way, Gustavo, where is Porto Alegre, Brazil? I have to look for
it
on the map. Yeah.
I'll take a peek.
I need a place to stay for the Olympics in 2016. So I'm hoping that you can help me out there, brother. I think that'd be a great place to go see the Olympics. All right. Sterling says, first off, Colt McCoy is not Michael Vick. Repeat that 1,000 times. There were three plays where Colt extended the play because Will Height, Jermaine Cunningham, and some linebacker who ran a straight line to the outside of Colt, and all Colt had to do was move inside. Poor angles taken on the pass rush are the reason this happened. This is sick because it should be elementary by now. Will Height and Cunningham need to realize this is the NFL, not Division I football. Well, I won't argue with that, but you still have to give Sterling the benefit of the doubt to the quarterback of the play for recognizing that he had the angle on the end zone and he made the play. That's all I'm saying. A lot of quarterbacks either are older and more wiser and recognize the folly of their ways. But Colt's a big, strong kid, okay? Is he the best quarterback going? No, he's got a long way to go. Certainly he can improve, you know, his arm strength. But he's got the tools. He's got the intangibles to go with the tools. It's hard to coach up the intangibles, guys. I mean, hell, Ryan Leaf had the physical tools, but he had a 10-cent head. All I'm saying is Colt McCoy does not have a 10-cent head.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
There you go.
Ryan Leaf at his finest.
There you go.
And by the way, John, Porto Alegre, I believe
it's
pronounced,
yes,
is in the very southern part of Brazil, almost down toward Uruguay.
Okay.
So it's way down there.
All right. Well, the games are actually in Rio, but I'm guessing that some of what would be going on would be near Porto Alegre, down in the southern part. What are the other big cities down there? Looking at the map, Kev.
Tough.
Where's Sao Paulo?
It's tough to pronunciate.
Where's Sao Paulo?
I don't know. I have to look. You're putting me on the spot here.
Come on. See, Gustavo's going nuts here because he could be emailing this stuff.
You should call in.
I know.
Long distance, I would say.
You could do that. Come on. Doesn't he have Skype? He could do something like that.
Sao Paulo isn't that far away from it.
That's what I thought.
It's just to the northeast of it, right on the...
And there are some... And some of the games are going to be in Sao Paulo.
Yeah, so that's not that far.
So that's what I was thinking. So, Gustavo, let me know if you can hook me up.
Are you going down there to work?
Well, I was thinking about it, but at the very least, I would like to, you know, because my goal in life now, I've told you since I hit all 50 states.
Yeah.
My goal in life is to hit all 7 continents, and I feel like this might be a good shot at South America.
What would you be doing? Would you be announcing down there?
That would be the first thing I'd try for, but the second thing I'd try for is I'd just go buy a couple of tickets to an event and stay down there for 2 or 3 days.
That'd be cool.
Go see my events and fly home.
That'd be really cool.
And I'd like to be, you know, you'd like to be able to cut expenses, so I'm going to, you know, hang on to every opportunity that I have.
Yeah.
And if I've got a connection in Brazil, I'm going to take advantage of it.
The good thing is you have plenty of time to plan this because it's like 6 years
away. A long time, yeah, 6 years away.
So.
See, right now I'm actually working on London in 2012, which I'm going to get to.
I've never been over there, but
I'm going to get to that.
From talking to the UK Pats fans, it sounds like a real good time.
I'm going to get to that one.
By the way, I just sent them a nice little care package.
Nice.
You guys are listening out there.
Nice.
They were up on the big screen during the Vikings game.
Sweet.
And I sent the footage back across the pond. So you guys will be able to view yourselves on the big screen.
Nice. May have to stay in Hull, though, and I know that didn't... The fact that I have relatives living in Hull did not impress
did
them
not
in
impress
the least.
Them.
Not in the least.
Yeah.
No.
They probably were
they,
doing
fact,
all
they were,
could to hold back
they were,
the
yeah,
anger.
They were. No, it wasn't so much anger. It's just they were kind of like, you know, they were disgusted.
That's rough. That's
well, it's
rough.
Not exactly a garden spot. I'll give you that.
I can't speak from experience. I've never been over there.
Well, I had a very pleasant time there.
When'd you go? How far?
This was 11, 12. So this would have been almost 4 years, a little over 3 years ago.
Okay,
almost four
so
years ago.
Fairly recent.
I was there for a family wedding.
Yeah.
We spent, you know, 4 days in London, stayed in London, rode the underground everywhere, did all the touristy things. It was
good.
Fabulous. Did Buckingham Palace, did, you know, Winston Churchill
Museum.
Did you do
the Big Bang Clock?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
As Brandon Merriweather would say?
Yep. Did the Big Bang Clock, did the, you know, the eye in the sky thing, you know, right there on the Thames River, did the London Bridge, did the Crown Jewels. I mean, we did it all. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And then we had to go to Hull for the wedding.
Do you have your son with you? Do you have
yes, Austin?
Austin
was with me.
That's
the rookie
awesome.
Was with me.
That's awesome.
And then we went to Hull for the wedding, and, you know, that was less awesome. But it wasn't horrible.
It happens.
It wasn't horrible, you know.
I
had very good. I had very good bangers and mash.
There you go.
Okay? Really good bangers and mash.
Did you have any fish and chips while you were over
I
there?
I did have fish and chips. It was always good at the local pub.
Yeah.
It was always the safest thing. If you had a banger and mash or the local fish and chip, just usually a cod, and it was very tasty.
Yeah.
And the chips would go along. And the pint of whatever the local brew
delicious.
Was, it was delicious. The only complaint I have is what other Americans complain about. It isn't cold enough.
The beer?
Yes.
You have a phone call.
Well, you know, that's fine. You can grab that. But I'm just, you know, that was the only complaint I had. It just, beer wasn't cold enough. Oh, Gustavo sent back an email here. He goes, just answering. He says, Porto Alegre is at the very south of Brazil. Sometimes it is a bit cold here, especially at the middle of the year. So if you like warm weather, you should head to my hometown at the other side of Brazil, Natal. Warm beaches, really good. Sao Paulo is next to Rio, but there's not much beaches there. But don't worry, if you come to Porto Alegre and Natal, I'll be there for you, buddy. Awesome. Listen, it's going to be during the summer games anyway, Gustavo, okay? So I'm hoping that during the summer that at least in Porto Alegre or Natal, wherever, the weather's going to be decent. I just want to be near some of the game sites. So I'll tell you what, you know, for, you know, a couple of nights of sleeping on your couch or whatever it might end up being, and if you're married, apologize to your wife in advance for me for the, you know,
the snoring stupid bear on the couch.
Yes, the stupid intrusion by the dumb American who
dumb
snores.
Silly American.
Yes, silly American, the goofball that wants to do that. But I promise you, we'll go out. We'll have a good time. I'll get 2 tickets to the events. You can come with me, all right? And the beer's on me. How's that? Is there a better deal than that?
It's a good offer.
Come on. All
it's
I need
an
is
offer
a,
he can't refuse.
I'm going to buy my own ticket. All I need is a place to stay.
Sounds like you get a date.
From who? That could be the trouble. All right. Goody, goody. Eldridge from North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge, what's happening, my man?
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
Trying to get over this car wheel from Sunday's beatdown.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You are not kidding. So what did you think? What were your thoughts?
I think the uniform showed up, but the Patriots didn't. Those impersonators.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, pretty good.
My question is this. Okay. I came home last night, checked the waiver wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think another linebacker and somebody to rush the edge like Herman or Bullock, Keith Bullock is still available, or Al Harris to hear about them young secondaries? Because, man, I don't see a Belichick team that can't tackle, except for this year and part of last year. You know, their defense is always, if anything, they might have been a little slow, but they could hit you. I ain't seen that this year. Have y'all?
No, you know, I get where you're coming from. First of all, Merriman got picked up by the Bills. I'm not sure about Bullock, so I'd have to look that up because I don't have that right in front of me. You want to jump on that, Kev, and see what the status is?
Nobody picked him up. Nobody picked him up yet.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, I know the one problem the Patriots are not having on defense, and that's generally play with their linebackers. I don't really have any problems with the way the linebackers have played, both inside and out. Where I have a problem, I don't even really have a problem with their defensive tackles. Problem is that they still don't have a pass rusher per se. Problem is that they're still very green and young at the corner. And while they're improving, they've still got a long way to go. And so when you add these things together without the, you know, fact that you're putting pressure on the quarterback, which you're not doing, that puts more pressure on your young defensive backs, and it means they're going to slip up more than they make plays. It's that simple. So I don't know that adding another linebacker is really going to, you know, help that equation.
No, what I'm talking about, Dad, help out the young, because them guys, they ain't setting the edge, man. Peyton Hillis, he ran all over us, man.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I mean, Ray Rice didn't do that. Rice didn't do that, you know.
What I
saw from the clips, because I get to see the game because I was driving. Shoot, I mean he just flat outran everybody.
You know,
and I don't believe we that slow on defense.
I don't think Eldridge. I don't think that they game planned well enough for him. I don't think they felt like he would do to them what he did. And so again, that goes back to my original premise today was I don't think they properly prepared.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
I heard your show yesterday, Monday. On a replay last night when I was at home, and I don't know if y'all talk to NFL analysts or whoever, but one thing I do agree with him on, we ain't taking no shots downfield either. I mean, Chargers don't have their number one guy.
To who, though?
Their number one guy.
Yeah, but Eldridge, who do we throw to? If we've got, you know, our one threat out there and Deion Branch, who's basically in a leg and a half, who's your threat? Who do you go over the top to?
Well, we've got to at least try to throw the Tate at least once or twice. At least
they
anybody.
Did.
Tate has improved. He can run a route and get open. Though.
Exactly. And the couple of routes and the couple of routes that he ran, Eldridge, he dropped the ball. So again, I get back to your original premise here. Who do you throw it to? They tried to go to Tate. He couldn't hold it.
Okay, is Price still hurt? They don't think he's comfortable enough to play a little bit.
There's a reason he's not playing. I mean, there's got to be a reason.
Okay, is he hurt or
he's obviously not impressing anybody in practice.
Not impressing nobody?
No. No.
My question is, man, that trade coming back to haunt us, because like I said, we got, what, Pittsburgh Sunday?
Yep.
And then we got the Colts after that, right?
Yep.
And Detroit ain't no slouch either. Even
no, especially,
they
on a,
Jets,
especially on a short
a
week, Eldridge.
For the money.
Yeah,
and
short week.
A very short week.
That's true.
And Pittsburgh coming off that high Monday night win. Oh, man.
Well, all I hope is, Eldridge, and thanks for the phone call, pal, all I hope is that you buckle your chin strap because we're going to be in for and put your seatbelt on because I think we're probably in for a bumpy ride over the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
I think it's pretty easy to
see.
It's going to be a bumpy ride, and that includes probably, you know, could be taking an L this week. Doesn't mean we'll take an L the following two. And again, let's try to look at big picture here. Even if you lose this week, you shouldn't panic.
They have to win two out of the next three games, in my opinion.
I agree with that. And if you win two out of the next three, and you're able to move to 8-3 overall, then okay, you know what? I'll take my chances with that. I think you're in pretty good shape with where you need to be. All right, let's get back to emails in a moment. Let's take a break here in a moment, and then we'll continue with your nitpicks on a Nitpick Tuesday, webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook is up and running. And then, of course, we'll have Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming up in 25 minutes right here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook on this Nitpick Tuesday. And again, in 20 minutes, Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette will join us. There is some news coming from Steeler practice today that we'll talk about with Ed coming up in just a little bit in the aftermath, really, of their 27-21 win over the Bengals last night on Monday Night Football. And we'll share that with you coming up in 20 minutes. I promised that I was going to start, before I give my last nitpick here, with the good news first from Sunday. Okay, I've got one more good item that I'm going to give you. And this really kind of goes along the same lines of what I just said to the last, you know, caller, Eldridge. He wanted to go out and get another linebacker. And I said, I don't really think the problem is in the linebacking core right now. And here's why. Jerod Mayo had his fifth straight game with 10-plus tackles. He finished with 10 against Cleveland. He's the first Patriot player to go five consecutive games with 10 or more tackles since Ted Johnson did this five straight games in 1999. How about that? Now, that has to fall under the category of did you know. It's been 11 years since a Patriot linebacker has had five straight games of 10 or more tackles, double-digit tackles. And Gerard Mayo did that against Cleveland. He had 17 against Miami, 19 against Baltimore, 12 at San Diego, 17 against Minnesota, 10 more against Cleveland. Now, again, I'm not saying that he did a great job against Cleveland. You have to kind of throw him in there with everybody else. The defense was definitely subpar. However, I'm not sure that a guy like Mayo is the answer here, or, you know, I mean, that he needs to be banged on is more so than anybody else. It's actually his sixth game overall with 10 or more tackles, but five in a row. First to do it since Ted Johnson did it back in 99. All right. Now can I give you my other nitpick?
And he is the tackling leader for the NFL, Gerard Mayo.
Yes. Yes.
Which I find extremely impressive. It's not just the team. It's the entire NFL.
It's good. It's good. He's right there where he needs to be. We're getting out of him what we need to get out of him.
And for those people that say he doesn't make plays, he's the one who forced that Hillis fumble that Merriweather recovered.
I believe that is correct. I have no problems with Mayo. I don't have any problems with the linebackers at all. You know, I even think Cunningham is rounding into shape. He's kind of out of position on some occasions.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Yes, they do. Thank you, Mr. Kraft. But here's my other nitpick. Actually, I've got two I got to share. And I mentioned this on Facebook earlier. I thought that there was an overall lack of intensity to the football team on Sunday. And I think that probably kind of goes hand in hand with the ill-preparedness that this team, you know, displayed against the Browns on Sunday. But there's just they came out and they got whacked in the face in that opening drive. We were fortunate to get out of it with just a field goal, but then when you throw out the bonehead play that Gronkowski made and call in the fair catch on the ensuing kickoff, they recover it, you know, and bang, 19 yards later they're in for the end zone and it's already 10-0. That just set the tone for the whole damn day. There was no intensity at all. The Browns came out, hit them in the mouth early. The Patriots were left reeling. They didn't think that the Browns were going to hit them in the mouth. They did. And they never recovered. That, and the other thing that I've got for you, is that, you know, all in all, while they've been able to recover the last couple of weeks, the Patriots' secondary, the corners, are still way too soft. Too much cushion, too much respect to the opposition. Now, we've seen the last couple of weeks where, you know, Devin McCourty starts to make plays. Even seen improvement in Kyle Arrington. It's time to let these guys, you know, continue up the ladder of success here rather than go back to the way they were playing 4 or 5 weeks ago. It was a definite, definitive step backwards for the defense. And you start with the play of the secondary. Way too soft on the Browns' receivers. My God, they treated Massaquoi as if he were Randy Moss, you know? Come on, fellas. Get up there and man up on these guys. Let's go. Maybe that goes back to game plan. Maybe their game plan was to be soft. I don't know. Lousy game plan is all I'll tell you. John sends this via Facebook. He says, it's not all on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Someone has to open a hole. The O-line has to produce. I don't disagree, but do you really think, John, that the offensive line got worse with Logan Mankins in there? I mean, if they really felt that bad about Logan Mankins, why did not only was he eligible his first week back, but why did he start? So I don't think they took a step back. Maybe the offensive line didn't do their job. I'll give you that. Maybe they didn't do their job, but, you know, you'd have to think that they were supposedly a better offensive line with Logan Mankins in the lineup. Derek from University of Arizona on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Derek.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm kind of double-dipping here. I was going to bring it up on PFW, but I didn't get a chance to. And, you know, Eldridge kind of mentioned it, and you just talked about how the corners are playing, you know, really soft still. And what Eldridge mentioned was about Al Harris just getting released from the Packers. And my roommate here and down here at the university, he's a big Packers fan, so I watch a lot of Packers football along with the Patriots. And, you know, I think that'd be a really good pickup if the Patriots made that move.
I love how he calls it the University.
The University of Arizona. Not Arizona State. The University of Arizona.
I could just use my last name, but, I mean, I just got to use some separation somewhere, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
but,
you do.
But maybe not after that weekend in Stanford, but that's another story anyway.
Oh, do tell.
No, thank you.
Hey, it's not anything. It's not anything wilder than I did when I was your age, pal. Let me guarantee you that.
All right, man. What I was going to say was, is just that I think Al Harris would be a really good fit if he can play. I mean, he did a really big, you know, he had a really big injury to his like his whole knee, leg area. I mean, the whole it's kind of a mess. And he's, you know, he's played in the league for quite a while, so he's older. But I mean, he's one of the best jamming, physical, up in your face, bump and run, you know, press corners in the league. And he's still, upper echelon, even though, you know, if he can play and he's healthy, I think that'd be a really good acquisition to make. You know, Devin McCourty has showed some signs that he can do that. And that's why you've seen Kyle Arrington kind of get the nod over Darius Butler, I think, a little bit too, is because he's shown willingness to do that. And, you know, Darius Butler hasn't, not to mention he hasn't had a very good start to the season.
Sure.
But I think Al Harris could really, you know, give some more veteran presence, and I think it's definitely worth a shot.
Well, okay, you know what you have to say is certainly has some merit. Here's why I don't think I'll be surprised, and why I don't think
he's
it'll happen.
34 too.
There you go. 34 years old, and it flies absolutely in the face of everything they have done on the defensive side of the ball over the course of the last 12 to 24 months. They've tried to get younger.
I completely agree with you.
It's okay.
I agree with you in my whole youth movement and everything that the team has done. It's a little. I'm not really sure. Hypocritical, I guess, would the word be for the team to make that move. And I know he's older. And like I said, if he's even healthy, but I think the team was really hoping Lee Bottom would be back there to kind of guide Devin McCourty. Instead, McCourty's kind of been thrust into that number one role, and he's played okay. But I don't know. I was just thinking maybe for the year, just be kind of interesting to see if, you know, I don't know. If you're looking at a healthy Al Harris or Will Height, I know Will Height played good, but Will Height's been, I mean, hit and miss. And I know Kyle Arrington, I'm not sure how serious his injury is. If there's any news on that, I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
but
there's nothing today. We won't find out more on that until tomorrow.
I just thought I'd bounce the idea off, and I'm just kind of curious to see what you thought.
Well, it makes sense to me, especially if we had an injury situation. I don't know that, it depends on what, Kyle Arrington's situation is, and maybe if he is hurt, they look at something like that.
He did come back.
Did he come back in the game?
He came back.
All right. So, again, we'll have to wait and see what the report says tomorrow after practice. But, at age 34, I'm not,
Saying it's like a must-have move. I'm just
right.
I would just thought, when he was released, I was thinking to myself, he maybe just kind of, I don't know. I just made for that for the
well,
year.
I could see them. I could see them doing that if they lost somebody for the year. I'd see them much more willing. Let's say this, Derek. I see them much more willing to do something like that if they lost somebody for the season.
Because Will Height actually played pretty decent.
I thought Will Height was fine. Actually,
no, I agree, Kevin. But I'm just saying, I mean, that's one game. And
yep. True. Yeah. You're right.
I'm not going to base just like I'm not going to throw the whole season under the bus.
Then
for the Patriots based on this last game.
But if
I'm not going to go ahead and give Will Height
The Al Harris, to New England campaign if you like.
Say
that's fine.
You go out and you sign him. Who are you getting rid of? Where are you depleting in other areas?
Yeah, because obviously for every signing, you got to dump somebody.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I'm not. That's why I'm not, sitting in the front office right now. I just thought it was an interesting point when I saw it. It has merit.
To
see what someone thought about it.
It has merit. I just think it flies in the face of, organizationally what this franchise has done,
and also,
I would be surprised. That's
also
all.
With the way the defense has actually played, I mean, and they've kind of held their own. It's to the point where we're not ready here in New England.
Well, they got sucker punched on Sunday. They got punched.
But still,
in the...
I don't think any of us are ready to run one of the DBs out of town with pitchforks and torches.
I think Derek makes a point in that you're looking for some leadership. You're looking for somebody that can say this is the way it's we need to do it. You might be even looking for a little more depth depending on what your injury situation is. And here's a guy that hey, let's not forget now, Patriots do have Green Bay on the schedule still.
Yep.
So, and we know that the Patriots have in the past looked at things like this. Hell, look at Danny Woodhead. Now, they brought him in, and they say that it didn't have anything to do with playing the Jets before.
I'm still shocked by that move. I thought that was pure intel, and it's completely, blown me away.
Obviously, it wasn't all intel, but, hey, you know, I think you'd be, you know, disingenuous at best if you tried to sell that there was no intel at all. Okay? So, you know, what I'm saying here is there a chance that something like that, what you say, could happen? Sure. I would still be surprised. Let's wait and see what the injuries look like, and then we'll go from there. But, hey, based on what we've seen, you know, from the defensive backs, I don't think Al Harris would be a downgrade. I just don't think he'd be helping, you know, as long as everybody was on the same page here. This is a short-term fix. There are no promises made, signing for the rest of the year, what have you. We'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, if he was even healthy enough to contribute, I just thought I'd be curious.
But, yeah, he may not be. That's right.
I could not agree more, you know, about the youth move. It's been tremendous, and it's been just crazy about how much roster turnover this team has had. And, you know, we're still talking about them at 6-2. And Kevin just said, you know, a lot of people didn't think they'd make the playoffs at the beginning of the season. And I'm pretty shocked about where they are right now. But I think they have a lot of, you know, improvements to make. And unfortunately, last Sunday's game was, you know, kind of the opposite of what we've seen the last few weeks before.
Agreed.
where the young players have regressed.
Agreed.
Instead of, you know, we're kind of riding that emotional roller coaster. But
absolutely, yeah. Agreed, Derek. Good points, buddy.
All right, well, I'll let you go because I know you got your Steelers guy coming in. So thanks for the call.
No problem. Hey, no sweat. Anytime, pal. Talk to you soon. All right, so there you go. Derek in University of Arizona.
Good caller.
Yeah, absolutely. Kid smart. He's smart. John in South Carolina says, Rook and Eric wannabe. I guess that's you. I would just like to remind you, we are not the Cowboys. What did this week show? Yeah, he called you Eric wannabe.
That kind of hurts. I don't think my opinions are anything like Eric.
I would agree with that, actually.
Do I look like Eric?
No, you don't.
I even shaved. You notice that?
No, you don't have the Squidward thing.
I wanted to get rid of, like, after that game, I just wanted to get the loss off me. I just took a shower. I shaved. I put my clothes. I wanted to pour gasoline all over my clothes and burn them.
That's funny. He says, any team can win on any day, including the Patriots. That being said, the Bungles were one fumble away from taking the mighty Steelers to overtime. If we can beat the Ravens and the Chargers, then we can beat the Steelers. This team was improving every week, one game, and we're the worst team in the league. Nobody's saying that here, John. This is a rookie defense who's going to lay as many turds as they do golden eggs. The offense, and that's just well put, isn't it? He's just a wordsmith, isn't he? The offense is in its second week of completely rewriting itself. He said rewritting, but I think he meant rewriting. Every year the Patriots have a game where the defense lets a scrub team score way too many, even going back to the glory days. My nitpick, overreacting producers who think every bad loss is a reason to give up the season.
I already said that I'm not giving up the season, but it's a definite red flag.
I heard you say that.
Anybody who watched the game and doesn't think that, I don't understand how you're objective.
He says, fact, Bill Belichick has problems beating teams with unknown quarterbacks and unknown offenses. Well, now wait, hold on. Whoa. What's his record generally against rookie quarterbacks, John? Pretty good.
Which makes this another red flag.
Says, just like the Wildcat game by Miami, the next time the team plays, they win. He says, Pats win in a close game.
This is a different kind of animal, though, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Heinz Field on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a different animal.
John's just, it's okay to be an eternal optimist. It's okay to be myopic in your point of view. It's all right. You know, it's okay. He's still allowed to come on, give his opinion. John, the game wasn't, this is from Jim in New York City. Says, the game wasn't on TV in the city, so I had to watch it at a bar. Left halfway through the third quarter when I realized what was transpiring as opposed to continuing to spending $9 on Bloody Marys to watch that lackluster effort. I'd have gotten the hell out too, John. Good call by you.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Jim, brother. Yes. I would have gotten out too. My question is, does this game unfold the same way if Patrick Chung is in the lineup?
Yes.
Was he becoming a cornerstone of this defense before the injury? Also, a shout-out to my high school quarterback, Kyle O'Brien, currently Southeast Scouting Director, I believe. All right. Shout-out well taken. Cornerstone, no. Contributing factor, most definitely.
He's a good physical safety that will come up and help stop the run, but
he's
not the difference between them winning and losing that game.
No, I agree. I concur. You know, if Patrick Chung were in there, that's not going to keep them from losing the game. the Patriot offense was really what lost them the game more than anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
Stupid mental mistakes and on the kickoff and the fumble.
Kickoff and the fumble and Rob Gronkowski. I should have busted our boy Derek's chops about Gronk, you know, about his Arizona boy. What's up with that?
We had some great Facebook interaction the other day. People were asking me if Andy was crying because, you know, Gronk was just going down the tubes.
I think Gronk's going to be fine.
I could imagine Andy.
He's going to be fine, but
he had
a horrible game. He had a horrible game.
Lesson learned, hopefully.
Hopefully. All right, John, here are my game day nitpicks. A lot of Johns today. So Rob Gronkowski had a bad day. Bad day. But after the first five mistakes, when does Brady say enough is enough and stop throwing to him? Looking back a few seasons, was Deion Branch awesome? Because I don't remember him being that great, and since his reemergence, he's looked less than average. Well, for trick plays, we fell for trick plays. Are you kidding? Brandon Tate in the chest dropped. The fair catch call. I could go on and on. By the way, here's a consideration. In Game 2, Darius Butler had a horrible game against the Jets and was never seen again. Based on that logic, should we just cut Gronkowski? Of course not. But where is Butler? Because Kyle Arrington is not the guy. I'm going to repeat this again, John. I think it seems like I say this once per week here. Darius Butler is not on the field based on what he does during the week in practice. If he has a particularly good week in practice where they can see that they justify putting him in there over Kyle Arrington, he'll be there. But a guy doesn't play on Sundays just because it's kind of like, oh, the other guy had a bad game. It's all about the week leading up to the game that determines who starts and who doesn't, as the way it should be in most situations. Really, that's the way it should be. That's when you'll see Darius Butler back in on a full time, if ever. When he's able to go out there and, you know, and perform, you know, to the team's, you know, expectations, if not overall abilities, on a day in and day out basis during the week in practice. So that's really what it boils down to. Facebook from Adam. Can I just say, Mr. Rook, it sounds like you have the best life in the world. Tell me how you got to where you are. I need your wisdom. I'm 14 and I still have to learn. I don't know that I have enough time to get there to you, Adam, but I promise you I will answer that at some point. We're going to take a couple of moments here to kind of start turning the page just a little bit over this past Sunday, which is what I'm assuming that the Steelers will also be trying to do after a hard-fought game last night against the Cincinnati Bengals. And Ed Bouchette covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joined us here inside the Patriots playbook. Ed, it's John Rook. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, John. Thank you.
Thanks for taking a couple of minutes today. Number one, reading some of the stories in the aftermath of the game last night where you had not one, not two, but three players with concussion or concussive injuries after the game last night?
Yeah, kind of unusual. I mean, you might see one, you might see two, but three, and two of them were running backs, John. You know, they only dressed three running backs, and two of them left, Redmond and Mwelde Moore. And Will Allen, one of their special teams players, also left with a concussion. They were losing guys left and right with various things last night, John.
I must have missed those plays. I'll be honest with you, Ed. I'll admit, I was flipping back and forth between, you know, the football game and the Pittsburgh Panthers playing basketball and open up the season last night. So, you know, I went back and forth. But I was definitely in Pittsburgh corner, I will tell you that.
What, the Pitt Panthers, you mean?
Well, yeah, both. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess I missed, you know, the dings to the running backs. Obviously, it's way too early to tell what might happen against New England, but, you know, based on, what at least we see on the surface here, how does that, how do you think this thing could end up playing out this week?
Well, I don't know. I you know, concussions are, you know, funny thing. The league obviously is more concern and pushing more safety issues with the head, and they have to pass, I believe, more tests, more stringent tests. If one or both could not play, they have a rookie, Jonathan Dwyer. They would have to dress for the first time, and they had have a kid on the practice squad who actually was on their team last year, Frank Summers. So we'll have to see as the week goes on, but
sure,
that's our options.
Sure. Last night there was an apparent sprained knee from Chris Kimoiatu. Is that how you pronounce it?
Kimoiatu.
Right, Kimoiatu. Yep, sprained knee. I saw Pouncey, Max Starks. There are a couple of others I think probably in there as well. This may be just a normal, you know, course of a work week and a particularly bruising game against a physical opponent.
Is there any real, you know, cause for alarm right now at, you know, at Steelers headquarters, do you think?
Well, Pouncey's okay, and he's a rookie center who's been their best lineman. He had a bruised shin. He came back in the game, finished up the second half. He's okay. We're not sure yet on Max Starks or Kimoyatu. Starks has some kind of neck injury, and Mike Tomlin downplayed that today. And he also said Chris Kimoyatu might be available, but he did say he has a sprained knee, so that means there's some kind of tear in there. So
right.
I would not pencil him in at guard for Sunday night's game right yet.
Also, I think the defensive end, Kiesel, or is it Kiesel?
It's Kiesel.
Kiesel. Hamstring?
He had a hamstring. He missed two games. Came back, started this one, but just I think he kind of wore out. That hamstring was bothering him. So, again, I would say he's iffy right now.
Okay. Well, obviously this will play itself out over the course of the week. It is a little bit of a shorter work week for you guys as opposed to what the Patriots are doing, simply because you had to play on Monday night. Nevertheless, Steelers are 6-2. How has this team, Ed, changed, do you think, or has it changed at all since Ben Roethlisberger retook the reins?
Well, they're not running the ball as well, John. They averaged 150 yards rushing in their first three games while Ben was out, and in their last five, they've been under 100, and that included last night, even though they had 120 yards last night. They just have not been able to run the ball that well this year lately. Like I said early on, they did well, and many of us thought, well, when Ben comes back, they have to respect the passing game a little more, so that should open up things, loosen it up anyway for the run, and it just hasn't happened. So I think that's one of the main differences with Roethlisberger back. And Ben has not been throwing for a lot of yards. He's had a high passer rating in the hundreds. He threw, I think it was only his second interception last night. You know, he doesn't have a lot of touchdown passes, doesn't have a lot of yards, but his passer rating's been good. He's been efficient.
Interesting. You think perhaps, and I'm sure that there have been opinions offered here, that maybe the play calls have been a little bit more to Ben's liking just to get him sort of ingrained in the offense?
I haven't seen that. He came back. His stronger games were his first two games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been lately he's kind of faltered. Last night he was okay, but he threw a bad interception that really opened the door to a possible for the Bengals to complete what would have been an epic comeback in the fourth quarter. He looked sharper early on after he served his 4-game suspension.
Mm-hmm. 17-27 last night, one pick, no touchdowns. Is he the same Ben as before the suspension?
Well, he's been different. He's been, if you want to use the words, more warm and cuddly, I think, at least toward us. But even Hines Ward made mention that he's seen a more of a effort by Ben to mingle with more teammates and become more of a leader for everyone. You know, he kind of had his own little group, if you would, in the past that mainly included his offensive linemen and maybe another player or two, but he's kind of trying to reach out to more teammates now.
Gotcha. I want to flip it to the other side here, you know, for a moment, just because of, you know, James Harrison's involvement with the hits and the fines this year, and obviously the Patriots had Brandon Merriweather in much the same situation. That's been a huge topic of conversation, you know, in and around the NFL over the last few weeks with Commissioner Roger Goodell, and a lot of people, you know, beginning to think that maybe Goodell is starting to overstep his bounds a little bit. I know that James Harrison had a meeting with Mr. Goodell as well, talking about the stricter enforcement of the dangerous hits and such. Has Harrison changed in this little bit of time, in your estimation? Or is he a different player, and is that good or bad?
Yeah, I haven't noticed any change in him, John, and to change him would be kind of difficult, I think. He's just not the type that's going to change. In fact, he had that $75,000 fine the same weekend that Merriweather had his big fine. And
mm-hmm.
then in New Orleans last week, he had a $20,000 fine for hitting Drew Brees in the
right,
back with
right.
his helmet. you know, he didn't, there wasn't anything close last night, but I don't know that we're going to see him change.
That's who he is.
That, yeah, that's who he is. And, you know, it's not like he's a dirty player. He's a big, he's one of those big hitting guys that, you know, the NFL has come up with these new rules and they're trying to enforce them. And obviously he's one of the guys who's had trouble kind of abiding by these new rules.
Sure. Well, let me add, you know, my two cents here on Troy Polamalu where this is concerned. I actually admire the fact that he's tried to stand up and sort of defend, I guess, Harrison a little bit against Roger Goodell. I think it's great when, you know, players, you know, speak out like that, even if it is misguided. I'm not saying he's misguided in this instance, but I admire the fact that he's able to stand up like that, and he appears to be a true team leader back there. I think it's pretty easy to see, at least from an outsider's point of view, what Polamalu really means to this team. Is it recognized the same way within Pittsburgh?
Oh, I think so. I mean, he's actually beloved here. You know, he's until his problems, until Ben's problems, it was probably Ben and Troy were the two most popular players, and I'm not so sure it wasn't Troy and Ben in that order. He's a different sort. He doesn't follow the crowd. I did a story a number of years ago with him at training camp, him just ripping how NFL teams train and how it's all wrong. I mean, he hardly ever used traditional weights in his strength and conditioning program. And, you know, he goes out to California with Todd Marinovich's father, who is a trainer out trains in a very different sort of way for the season.
You know, that's why, you know, I can see why he does the commercials and why he has, you know, the popularity that he does. Certainly the hair is sort of a gimmick thing, but at the same time, here's one guy that definitely backs up his play or backs up his words with his play. Does the Steelers' defense, I guess this is maybe where I'm going with this, does the Steelers' defense take a cue from Troy? Do they take a cue from James Harrison? Or do they need to take a cue from anybody?
Well, it's a pretty veteran group, John. It's basically been together for a long time, and I don't know that they take their cue from anyone per se, but Troy certainly, his presence in that defense makes it go. Dick LeBeau made note of that a long time ago, that they can do so many different things because of his abilities and things they can't do when he's not in there, and they found that out yet again last year when he was out for 11 games. They were not the same defense.
Okay, very good. Ed Bichette again from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette with us. I know it's a little bit hard to kind of game plan, really, with the game still coming up on Sunday, but just for the sake of an argument here, I noticed where, especially in the last drive of the game last night against Carson Palmer, that when they hurried him up, I think they forced, you know, Carson obviously into, you know, some you know, potential mistakes there. So is it fair to say that perhaps trying to harass Tom Brady might at least enter into the playbook equation this week for Pittsburgh?
Well, I'm sure some of that will be involved, John, but they mix it up a lot. I mean, against New Orleans, they were not blitzing much at all, and even some of the players, I think, did not like that. So that's why maybe why you saw them going after Palmer there and at the end. But, you know, he hit a big pass in the second half when they did have a come with a blitz. So I'm not sure he rattled Tom Brady. I have no idea how they're going to approach him. But, you know, I don't know that, you know, they played him in 08. I can't exactly remember how they did it up there, but they – you know, they beat the Patriots pretty good up there. So I'm thinking they're probably getting that reel of tape out right now.
Probably so. I guess a final then one for you, Ed, here would be, without following the team on a day-in and day-out basis, what do you feel like not only your expectations or you know, what your thoughts are about the Patriots right now, but what do you think the Steelers' thoughts about the Patriots might be going into preparing this week?
Well, I'm sure they. Many of these guys, like I said, they're a veteran team, and they should have long memories because the Patriots have kind of schooled them in this century, and a lot of these guys do go back to, you know, the early part of the 01, 02, 03. Hines Ward certainly has been around, and for both those AFC title game losses here, and you know they're familiar with Brady. They've played him enough times for a non-division team, and it's going to be I think the best matchup of the week certainly, and it's on Sunday night. These two teams have a little bit of history, and it's kind of neat to see them both come in first place, and you know with kind of a lot on the line. This could be a seed these guys are
absolutely
playing for.
Absolutely. I lied. One final quickie. In watching the Steelers, again, from an outsider's point of view, it just kind of seems to me that this team lacks something. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't quite seem to be, to me, as complete a Pittsburgh team as I've seen in the past. Are they lacking something in your estimation?
Well, yeah, I think they are, John, and I think it's a running game.
Okay.
They're not as dominant on the ground. They haven't been, actually, for 3 years, and they won a Super Bowl without a dominant running game. Last year, they fell off further. Their president, Art Rooney, urged them to, get better at it. They've been trying. They run the ball more often this year than they have in the past, but they just have not been been very good at it, especially, as I said, these last five games. And I think that's the one thing missing going into this game.
All right. Ed, thanks so much for the time. Sure appreciate it. And we'll look forward to visiting with you again on Down the Line.
All right, John. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Our pleasure. Ed Bouchette, again, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, with us here inside Patriots Playbook today. Let's sneak a break in here then, Kev, and give our listeners time to digest that. If you got any comments on what Ed had to say about the Steelers and or the potential matchup of the Patriots coming up this next Sunday, fire away, webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook page is up. We'll continue with Nitpick Tuesday coming up.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
okay. That was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back inside the playbook. Let's hit emails here for the rest of the way. If you've got a phone call in you as well, we'll entertain that up until the top of the hour. This one comes from Matthew. It says, since it's Nitpick Tuesday, I have one. John, how the heck do you not know who Buster Crabbe is? You're over 40, right? Ever see a black and white Tarzan movie or Flash Gordon serial from the 30s? That's freaking Buster Crabbe. Matthew, I know who Buster Crabbe is. I know
I
who
no
the Buster Crabbe is. I didn't know who Fred's reference to Buster Crabbe was. I didn't realize that's what he called, you know,
Russell Baxter.
It doesn't even make sense. No idea,
because
it doesn't make any sense.
See, when I called them Baxter Russell, that made sense, because it's his name. At least it's reversed, you know. But come on.
He said, that's why Andy said, thank you, John, when you told Fred you were ignorant of Buster Crabbe. No, that's not what I meant.
The only Krabs I know is the one from SpongeBob, Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs.
Yarr!
I thought you were going to say the only Krabs you that you
oh,
knew.
Hey, let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Okay.
It was my birthday this weekend.
Oh, I don't want any details at all. I do happen to like the blue stone crabs at Joe's Stone Crabs in Miami.
There you go, then.
Those are outstanding crabs. Other than that, no. I mean, yeah, I know who Buster Crabbe was. Good Lord. Actor. So, sorry.
Andy and I just looked at each other like, what the hell was
sorry,
that?
Sorry. He says, by the way, I was cursing you all afternoon on Sunday every time your dang binky, Colt McCoy, ran around pulling rabbits out of his hat or helmet. Gee, naming a boy with the first name of a horse and the last name of a hillbilly feud. Gee, I wonder where he went to college. Thank you, Brooklyn Matt. He has to get his, you know, shots in either way. That's fine. That's quite all right. All I can say is that I thought Colt represented himself very, very well. I think he did a good job.
I think everyone agrees that.
And I think Colt's got a future in this game. That's all I'll say. You know, is he going to be Tom Brady? Probably not. Peyton Manning? Probably not. But could he be a good quarterback in the NFL 8 to 10 years and, you know, potentially, you know, help the Browns win if they help him out, you know, with the, you know, rest of the offense? Sure, he's got the potential. I think everybody saw that. You'd have to be an idiot, Andy Hart, not to see that.
And on a kind of a different level, what we're seeing with the whole Cam Newton thing at Auburn right now, Colt McCoy was that star where you didn't really hear too much out of him. He didn't really do anything wrong while he was in college.
Wait a second. Colt was, that's all, he was the face of the program for 4 years because his first year, or actually first 2 years, because he was quote unquote Vince Young's replacement.
Yeah.
And so he had to operate under this glaring spotlight of national attention. And he struggled. He had his moments of struggling those first 2 years. But starting his junior year when he set the single season record for percentage of completions, NCAA record now, completing better than 70% of his passes for an entire season. All right. That's when people realize that he actually might have professional potential.
Yeah.
And he has taken that, and he's not only reached that, but he's worked on expanding upon that.
Well, what I was getting to is he seems like a kid that's got his head on his shoulders.
He's a smart kid.
He's well-spoken.
Absolutely.
Confident. You know, he wasn't in the news for the wrong reasons, we'll put it that way,
right,
while he was at Texas. That's what I was getting at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct about that. Sam is next. As soon as I get his email to load here. You didn't send me a virus, did you? He says, man, you guys are so negative. The Pats had one bad game. Give me a team that hasn't done that this year. Sam, you're missing the whole point.
We're picking nits, damn it.
First of all, this is Nitpick Tuesday, which we do on Tuesdays. We pick at the small nits until they bleed. Okay? That's what we do here. That's number one. Number two, the whole point of the entire program is what I mentioned at the top of the show. Apparently you came in too late for that. We said because of the fact that this year is so topsy-turvy, it's not going to do any good for me to pick the Pats anymore or actually pick the game anymore because you just don't know. This is a season in which Team 32 can beat Team 1 and look good doing it. It's a different sort of year.
I'll give you an example.
There are all teams have laid an egg. Every team has laid an egg this year.
Here.
At least one. What?
Here we go. The Steelers, this week's opponent. Their losses are against Baltimore, who is widely regarded as number one or two in a lot of people's power rankings.
Yes, yes.
They lost to Baltimore without Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Did not play. So they had Charlie Batch at quarterback. They lost by a field goal.
Right.
That's not a bad loss.
No, it's not.
Then Roethlisberger comes back. They go to New Orleans and lose by 10. I don't really consider that a bad loss.
No, it's not.
In every other game they've won.
Defending Super Bowl champs.
In every other game they've won.
Which is why I think the Steelers deserve to be, amongst all of them, ranked number one.
Game, set, match.
You know, I mean, in spite of what Ed Bouchette talking about, you know, the running game and this and that and all that stuff, I mean, that's all fine and well. He obviously works very close to the team, so he knows a little bit more about that than we do. But at the same time, you know, I have no argument at all with the Steelers being put at the top of the pedestal right now. And the Patriots need to approach it like that.
And to kind of refute the point made by the emailer, I don't think Pittsburgh has laid an egg this year.
No, I don't think they
if
have
they had
either.
Lost last night, sure, I would have said that's an egg because they blew it.
Because they would have blown
a
big
the
lead.
Quarter.
Right.
But they didn't.
I would, as close
as they came, they didn't. So I think you
bring up a good point. I don't think they have laid really an egg. They may be the only team that really hasn't laid an egg this year. Okay, I'll go back on what I just said. I said every team's laid an egg.
No further questions.
No, I think the Steelers probably have not laid an egg, now that you've brought that up, Kevin. That's why we have you here, to refute me. Robin in Alaska. I think the Browns and Patriots proved last Sunday that the difference between a good team and a bad team in the NFL is only preparation and desire. Forget talent, coaching, stars, all of that. Just preparation and desire. What do you think, Rook? Well, I don't know, Robin.
The Rook.
I think there's a lot of truth in what you say. I think that, you know, this is a league built on parity, certainly over the course of the last decade or so. It's what the NFL wants. It keeps more people engaged. It keeps, you know, people like us employed. It gets people hitting on the fan websites, streaming the audio like you're doing right now. It keeps the television ratings high. It keeps readership up, subscriptions up. It keeps sports radio, you know, phones humming. It does all of that. So when you have no salary cap like you don't have this year, every team can go out there basically and find themselves, you know, a contending team if they put their mind to it. I think it's pretty clear to see that about a dozen teams right now have done just that. There are about a dozen teams right now you can look at and say, I could see them being in the Super Bowl. And I don't remember that really over the last few years. Don't remember that at all. So if all things are equal talent-wise on the field, what is going to be the deciding factor? Luck? Yeah, a little bit. But I also believe that preparation plus desire equal luck.
There's going to be not much separating, you know, the fistful of teams that make the playoffs
this
year.
No,
I think it's going to make for a great playoff season. I think we'll see a lot of great games.
Well, it'll be wide open. It's so wide open, it's not even funny.
We'll
and you know
fun.
What? And you know what? That includes the Patriots. The Patriots have a shot, but they cannot be underprepared like they were this last Sunday. They just can't be. Sean says, John, we're headed to 6-4 without a doubt. How can anyone think this team will beat elite teams with the offense playing the way it is? I just don't understand what people are seeing that makes them think there's nothing to worry about. Two games we won by turnovers and fortunate Patriot bounces. I thought this team would be 8-8 this season, and now considering the two games of fortunate circumstances, 10-6 maybe.
Yeah, you take the Dolphins, bunch of bounces, bunch of special teams play. Then I look at the Vikings in the San Diego game, the game against Minnesota and the game against San Diego. We lost to two turd coaches and a terrible clutch kicker. I mean, just they were games almost given to you. And I mean, Childress is an idiot. I'm sorry. Lump him in with Schwartz and just send him on a boat back to wherever the hell they came from.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm fired up. I'm ready for the playoffs already.
I can tell. Stripper says, it's not up to debate. ESPN Insider has an article that without Moss, a top-rated offense is now 14th. Yes, I saw that same article, Strippers. Welker, since Moss has left, is not playing any better than an average wideout. In fact, he's playing worse. The tight ends have more targets now, but they got to catch the ball less. The offense without Moss is hurting. actually strippers, we agree here. And I believe that was part of my point earlier in the program.
That is not opinion, that's fact.
That's fact. Production has been down offensively since Moss left. Look at it. It's even in the numbers. Watch the game. You can see it for yourself. The receivers aren't getting open. There's no separation. Brady's holding on to the ball longer and longer. I would argue that his offensive line, maybe with one or two slight exceptions in the running game this last week, has done a better job because they've had to protect Brady longer because he's holding on to the ball longer. They didn't do a very good job of run blocking this last week. But then again, once the Patriots got behind, that kind of took the run out of the equation, didn't it?
Take a listen to this. Last couple weeks, Welker, we'll talk about reception yards, actual yards. As in, I know a lot of people bust his chops about not getting in the end zone a ton.
Yeah.
And I never really agreed with those people because I think he was a big reason the fact they got down the field in the first place. Because he's the guy who you look to on third down to pick up 6 yards, generally speaking. But in the last three games, 36 yards, 24 yards, 25 yards.
Okay.
There's the evidence right there. He's not the same player.
Nope.
And the offense isn't as productive in general with Moss gone.
He's just, Moss was a threat. He was a threat to opposing defenses. They had to respect his threat. Whether the Patriots threw to him or not, they had to respect his ability to catch the deep ball. It stretches a defense.
So in the last month, he hasn't cracked, he hasn't got over 36 yards. He hasn't had more than 4 catches, and he hasn't caught a touchdown.
We're talking about Welker?
Yeah, not the same guy.
Okay. No, it's not. Compound that with a problem, that he's still trying to rehab a knee. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's still coming back from a horrific knee injury. I mean, the fact that he's on the field, again, to me, is bonus enough this year. But we're putting way too much pressure on Wes Welker to be successful. And now that, his binky Randy Moss is gone, I think we're being unrealistic to expect Wes to be able to turn into the old Wes. It ain't going to happen. That's why the red flag should be raised about the offense, not the defense.
And we're not trying to be negative here. We're just telling it like it is. I mean, if you think that the offense is the offense or even close to what it was when Moss was here, then I don't know.
Draw your own conclusions after this week. We'll talk about this this week, and next week we'll revisit this. TG and NJ. John, Mr. Hart can't see everything. I thought your boy Colt was the best QB coming out of the draft. And when I saw him drop in the draft and land in Cleveland, I thought to myself, it's going to be fun to watch Colt McCoy exact his revenge on the NFL. I just didn't think the Pats would be one of his victims. What I come away with from that game is that the Pats just don't have the horses. They're better than last year, but they still lack enough playmakers to get it done. Where is our Peyton Hillis? One could make an argument that the Pats' running game hasn't been good since the dreaded Corey Dillon. I'm totally and completely in your corner on that one. Thanks, TG. That's a good take.
When they have to run it, they can't run it. That's the bottom line.
That's a good take. Good take. Okay. Need an email to load here. Pardon the time.
I'm feeling a little better, though, John. Getting all this off my chest.
Okay. Sterling, I hear you say the passing game is suffering. Well, congratulate Bill for passing on Dez Bryant, not getting Vincent Jackson. Get a big play receiver now or just die. You're in the AFC. The Deion Branch, Patrick Pass given days are over.
Patrick Pass.
I know. That's great.
Remember when he dropped the ball on the ground? He grabbed his leg. Oh, that was awful.
South Carolina has 2 6'5 receivers coming out next year. Beasts. But Bill will pass on some stupid Julian Edelman type trying to outthink himself. Rivers is having fun while Brady is struggling. I hope Brady does a Randy Moss at management soon for not getting him an arsenal of receivers like Manning and Rivers. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime. 3 Super Bowls, could easily have 3 or 4 more with a Hall of Fame coach, but won't get the receivers he needs. Duh! Are you listening, Nick Caserio? Hello? Anybody home, Mr. Kraft? Wake the hell up!
Speaking of Edelman, man, my prediction has not come true here, John. I'll admit that I'm wrong. I'm a big enough man for that. But I thought he would be a bigger part of the offense once Moss was gone. He's not been able to get on the field, obviously, because he's not impressing anybody. And then he finally gets on the field and makes that boneheaded play when Hoyer hits him in the chest and he gets the ball ripped away from him. He's looked like a complete idiot out there.
I don't know. Jay from Maine, great show, but how long was the offense on the field? I think it was about 17 minutes. The defense never swarmed the ball, plus unlucky turnovers. The defense has to allow the offense time on the field.
Well, if they quit, fumbling the kickoffs and fumbling on the goal line and all that other stuff. That might
then
help them.
Maybe
stay
they can stay on the field. Yeah. Again, you got to look at the offense. Darius is in Virginia.
They had the ball for almost 22 minutes.
22 too. Minutes. Okay. Darius in Virginia says, about a month ago, there was an interview with Brady asking who was the fastest on the team. His response that he would like to see Moss versus Slater. He said that Slater was the second fastest on the team. I recall in one game, Slater was on the field. They sent him on a go route. He clearly beat his man, but Brady overthrew him. So what about game planning to have him in there a few times a game just to throw deep? Just the threat of going deep would help stretch the defense. If they work on it at practice, Brady could get a feel for him, work on the timing. What do you think? I think it's worth a shot because right now we have no deep threat. Personally, as much as everyone is saying that the game against the Browns was a bad day, I say it was pretty much who they are. Remember, in the two games prior to that, they won by catching a lot of breaks. Like a rookie player leaving the ball down on the ground in the Vikings game, or was that the Chargers game?
Chargers game.
Chargers game.
That's when Ninkovich picked it up and
right.
Almost ran it all the way back.
You know what? If they could work on Slater during the during practice during the week, it's fine. But again, I do think that
they've thrown him one pass this year, pretty much.
Practice
in the Baltimore
practice
game.
Dictates whether or not you're in the game. So if they're not doing it in practice, we don't know if he's getting the shot in practice. We can only assume that he is, again, because we're not privy to it.
And for the time of possession discrepancy in this past weekend's game, the Browns ran four more plays than the Patriots did.
That's it.
I mean, come on.
That's it, huh?
If you're trying to put lipstick on this pig, it ain't working.
Yeah.
And I know I sound like a Debbie Downer, but it is what it is.
Brooklyn Matt also bangs on Tully Bantakane. He goes, when your dang binky Colt Hatfields versus the McCoys was running around the edge, I was yelling, hey, that's where Tully usually is.
Jeez.
So what's the freaking dealio with that? Tully go AWOL or something?
Yeah, there's a few plays where he's running up the field, this Colt stepping up in the pocket, and he's completely useless.
Yeah. Maybe we just had a situation where we had three or four guys just have crappy games for the first time in a while. I hope that's the case. Norman in Illinois. John, the trick play with the Browns' offensive line was standing around appeared to me and my son to be an illegal formation. I thought the O-line had to be set before the snap. I remember that play. That was the one they scored on the Stuckey touchdown run, right?
I think Cribbs handed it to Stuckey.
I believe as long as they're still, they're considered set.
They were still, the center was down over the ball in the position.
I believe that's considered
and
set.
And Stuckey was pretty much lined up as the fullback. And the cool part about the play was the only reason the line was standing up was to shield Stuckey. Like, so the Patriots' defense literally could not see him over, the fully upright Browns offensive line. So they didn't even see the handoff happen. So I thought it was legal, not only legal, but I thought it was kind of a genius idea when I thought about it.
Wow. That's a good one. All right, let me finish here with a couple of items from Facebook from earlier today. Dang, come on, Facebook, where are you here? Seems to be a lot of activity on it, so that's why it's hardly moving now. Okay, very good. Thanks so much. Let's see if we can get this thing down here. Well, maybe not. My apologies. Why is this page? It's freezing on me. Okay. Well, then that's that, because we're already past time anyway. Thank you, though, for your contributions. We got some of them in. We got most of them in fact. A lot of folks were talking in particular about things to talk about, for at least this week anyway. And in some instances, well, I think we pretty much touched on all of those topics. Tomorrow's playbook. Obviously, Eric Scalavina will be a part of it tomorrow. What are we working on for tomorrow? We got any good things, any big surprises working over tomorrow?
You have to listen to find out.
Okay. That means I got to be
I'm
here.
Hoping we have, so I'm, also I'm hoping out. In my heart of hearts that we have a big surprise tomorrow. But I'm going to tease it, but I'm not going to make any promises.
Gotcha. Oh, no, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I know where you're going. Okay. Never mind. If it turns out, it'll be a good one. You'll just have to be here for that. But it could
today
be
a, was a good
could
one
be
well.
A very good
one. I was
yeah.
happy. I was
yeah.
happy with today's
good
show.
Good stuff. All right. Same patch time, same patch channel manana, kids.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.